Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Launching Out into the Deep.
Type of theme from Luke 5, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the first fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And looking from taking the word out of verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And we've been teaching from the subject on Sundays about doing the word, but then digesting this a little bit further in the Bible study on Wednesday from the subject, launch out to the deep, launch out to the deep, or launching out to the deep. And I said one of my concerns for this era of the church and this era of modern contemporary Christianity is that we tend to be producing a lot of carnal, baby, wimpy, shallow Christians who are even fighting and arguing for our right to be carnal, basically telling us that it's not, you know, we laugh, we joke to some degree about deep people. There's some things that's not that deep, as we say, but it's some things we need to be a little deeper about and not take so casually or be so shallow, because if we're going to get the great draught of fish that God wants us to have, and we can look at that in so many ways. Fish is used to represent souls. We're going to get the souls into the kingdom that God wants to come into the kingdom. We're going to have to go out deeper. If you're going to get the harvest for what God wants to produce in your life, it's going to require you to go out deeper. And so we said that shallow waters produce shallow people. Shallow people just want to stay in shallow waters. So you end up in this cycle of shallowness. Shallow waters, because you won't go out further, you stay shallow. And so shallow waters produce shallow people, and then shallow people want to stay in shallow water, in part because you get scared. Because you get scared to go out deeper. You just know what you're familiar with, and you can become comfortable with less than God's best. I think it's a shame to become comfortable with less than God's best. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind I want everything God has for me. I want to receive everything that Jesus died for me to have. I don't want to let one promise, one benefit that Jesus died for me to have be forfeited. The scripture says in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So you can forget his benefits. Even though Jesus died for you to have it, you can forget it and you can forfeit it. But if we're going to have all the benefits of our relationship with God, all the benefits of the cross, we're going to have to make up our mind that we're going to have to go out deeper, because shallow people aren't concerned with doing the word. Shallow people want great harvest and yet want to stay at the shore. Shallow people want to receive much and receive everything, but are willing to give little or nothing. But people launch into the deep. We said, first of all, you're going to have to hear what other people don't hear. This is the time when all the other ships, they would be coming in, everybody be washing their nets. But Jesus spoke a specific word to Peter. Even though it's early in the morning and usually you go home now and wash your nets, I'm telling you to go on out deeper. And if you be willing to do what I tell you to do, even when other people don't hear it and didn't seem unconventional, unorthodox, you'll receive a harvest that other people won't receive. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want all my harvest. Come on, somebody say, I want all my harvest. So we said, in order to go deeper, that you need to know the voice of God. And we looked at Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10, how Samuel was ministering in the temple under the supervision of the priest Eli. And he ministered before the Lord. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 3 says he ministered unto the Lord. And so you can be ministering as an usher, as a greeter, as a parking lot tender, as a choir member. Yeah, even as a praise and worship leader. Can I tell y'all? But let me tell you this here. The closer you are to being up here for whatever reason, you need to be deeper.
Come on.
Okay, otherwise just stay back there. And we can start from the outside in. Amen. I don't need my parking attendants to be as deep as the praise and worship leaders. Can y'all understand that? The further out you are from this place of ministry, the more shallow you can be. Does that make sense? But the closer you get to being up here in this place of ministering before God and his people, the deeper you need to be in your relationship with God. So we see Samuel, he ministered to the Lord. The word of the Lord was precious. And then, but then God started calling Samuel, but he didn't know his voice. We know he didn't know his voice. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He ministered before the Lord, but didn't know the Lord. Let that sink in. He ministered before the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. He was doing what the preacher told him to do. He's doing what the praise and worship leader tells you to do. Come on, lift your hands in the sanctuary. Clap your hands to the Lord. Turn around. Jump. Just under instructions. Doing what we tell you to do and don't know the Lord. He ministered before the Lord. Under the supervision of the priest. Go here, do this. Bring this, sit people here, do this, say this, read this. Go into all the mechanics of ministry and not know the Lord. We know that's possible because it's in John 4 that Jesus meets the woman at the well. When he starts talking to her about water, giving him something to drink, she tries to take the tension off herself. And she goes into some almost like a random comment, basically trying to distract Jesus or change the conversation. You a Jew. Well, you Jews say supposed to worship here in Jerusalem. But we're taught we're supposed to worship in the mountain. And Jesus said, that ain't even what I'm talking about. It don't matter whether you worship here or worship there. He said, the Father seeketh true worshipers. And then he tells us, he said, you know not who you worship. Same thing as Eli, as Samuel in his immature state. You're going through the mechanics of worship. You even take the trip up to the mountain to worship. And you don't even know the person you're worshiping. How much stuff do we do around the church, for the church, in the church, supposedly unto God and unto the man and woman of God. But you need to know the Lord. Jesus tells us, well, you're going through all this stuff. The Father seeketh true worshipers. You don't even know the God you're worshiping. Not even knowing the God you're worshiping. I said, I don't care. I ain't scared of y'all. You know, we was talking about, I was recently talking to someone and they were concerned about a family member, whatever, being involved in Masons and all this kind of stuff. Okay. And, you know, I ain't a Mason. I ain't trying to be a Mason. Okay. But, you know, in some of these secret societies and sometimes they're doing all kinds of stuff. And people say, you know, one person thought they were worshiping demons. And I'm not necessarily saying worshiping demons. But you can be involved in worship stuff and not know who you're worshiping. I've been to Africa several times. Okay. You got all, you know, and the Africans themselves who are Christians will tell you all those masks mean something. And Christians, they don't have the mask around the house and all that. And we call ourselves to my pal to the people, come back, bring all these masks. You know who you worship. Got all kind of stuff hanging around our houses. All kind of masks. Christians with Buddha up in the house. You know not who you worship. You think it's just art, but you know not who you worship. You're going through all these antics and got all this religious stuff. You know not who you worship. Man, I'm flowing right now. It's a whole nother, that's the thing in scripture of people doing religious stuff and know not who they worship. Paul comes to Mars Hill and says, I see you. You Greeks, y'all very superstitious. It really means y'all real religious. You hear these people saying stuff today, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. My daughter, I was glad the girl moved out. Nice girl, she went to high school with and everything. I was glad they were roommates. I'm glad the girl moved out. My daughter invited the church. She don't go to church, but she would post all her crystals. The crystals and the moon and the stars, but won't go to church. See, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. You know not who you worship. Then people wonder why you can't sleep at night. You're tormented by spirits. You got spirits of fear, spirits of anxiety. You're sick all the time because you're worshiping stuff and you know not who you worship. Paul comes and sees the Mars Hill. He says, I see y'all got all these statues. He said, boy, y'all sure are superstitious. We said, y'all saw some religious folks. You got a god to this and a god to that and a god to this, god to that. And you made all these statues and all these ornaments and all these great monuments and all these great altars. He said, but can I tell you, you got one of those statues or one of those ones that you got up there. Can I talk to you about that one? Because when I looked at all your statues and all your altars and all your monuments, I saw you got one to the unknown god. He said, can I talk to you about the one you don't know? You got one to this unknown God. This God is not worshipped with hands as though he needs anything. And he's not talking about lifting of hands. He's saying this is a God. You really can't give him anything. You read it. He says, because he giveth to all men life and breath. He said, let me tell you about this God you don't know. The God you don't know, it's in him that we live and that we move and we have our being. The God that you don't know, he created the worlds and everything in it. The one you don't know, that's the one you need to be worshiping.
Come on. Yes, sir.
The one you don't know. And so Samuel ministered before the Lord and he didn't know the Lord. And it's interesting that the scripture mentions this in the context of him not recognizing God's voice.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you can know hymns. You can know the order of how we do things in church. You can know the order of service. You can know who to call and what to call and the protocol. You can know all this stuff. Not know the Lord. Because until you know his voice, you don't know the Lord. Until you know when God's talking to you in the offering, you don't know the Lord. Is that me? Is that God? Or is that the devil? So every time God tries to talk about an offering, you don't know the Lord. Is that me? Is that God or is that the devil? $100, that must be the devil. Oh, so now the devil wants you to support ministry in a great way. No, it's not, no, it ain't the devil. You know it ain't you because you don't want to do it. See, my point about it, I'm using it as an example, but what the proof of knowing God is that you know his voice. Thank God for your pastor. When, you know, and your pastor, your spiritual leaders, part of our purpose is to help you know God. Okay? And you may know us and know the word we speak before you know God. What are you talking about, Pastor? When God first calls Eli, three times, when God first calls Samuel, three times he thinks it's Eli. meaning that Eli, that the voice of God sounded like his pastor. Because that's who he was familiar with. But you have to go beyond your pastor's voice to know the voice of God. So Eli finally says to him, now I'm thinking about it. Years ago, the Lord used to talk. I remember he used to talk to me, but it's been a while now. Maybe he's talking to you now. Tell you what, next time you hear it, say, Lord, your servant hears. Here I am, Lord, your servant hears. Pick up at verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to him, go lie down. It shall be, if he call thee, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came, and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. So we say God wants us to launch out into the deep. So he can speak to us, we can hear him, and he can reveal things to us. Until you know the voice of God, you don't really know God. You can know, watch this. Can I tell you this? You can know the scriptures and not know God. You can reference all the scriptures and not know God. Oh, this is so good. So you can know the logos, the written word, but you don't know God until you know the rhema. Because there's some stuff. I can say it this way, that the logos is not real specific about. For example, God in his word through the logos, it gives you the type of person you should marry. To be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay? So unless you know the voice of God, you can think that anybody who's a believer qualifies for your husband and your wife. The word said, long as he ain't an unbeliever. And he ain't an unbeliever, but you don't know the voice of God. God said, this ain't the one. Are y'all listening to me? So you got to know God beyond just the written word. You got to know God. God wants us to go deeper that we know his voice. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, we quote all the time. I have not seen, nor ear heard. This is not a funeral scripture. Neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared. For them that love him. No. Keep reading. But mean cancel that out. But mean this thing ain't change. So don't go around quoting all the time. I have not seen, he has not heard, neither into the heart of anything that God prepared for them. But even though I said that, but even though I hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it, neither has into the heart of man the thing God has prepared, but cancel that out. But God hath revealed them unto us by his what? Spirit. So there's some things my eyes haven't seen. There's some things my ears haven't heard. There's some things I have not thought about or meditated on in my heart. But God will reveal them unto me by his Spirit. So I need to go out deeper so he can reveal things to me beyond what I see and what I hear and beyond what I feel. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to go deeper. So we said, launching out into the deep. This is where I'm really picking up now. That was really review. Launching out into the deep is going to require you to leave some at the shore. Launching out into the deep is going to require you to leave some at the shore. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. I believe the Lake Gennesaret, and then Jesus tells them going to the other side. And in the wee hours of the morning, they see Jesus walking on the water. And he says to them, fear not, it is I, be not afraid. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come on out there. Peter's a bold dude, y'all. Now see, that shows the difference between how I think and how Peter's thinking. and the water was trouble. I just said, Lord, if that's you, calm this water down. And then come on in the boat with me. Peter's bold. If that's you, let me come out on the water. And he tells Peter to come on. Bid him to come. I told y'all, see, that's why sometimes you hear preachers say stuff and you gotta meditate on it. Think about what they said. I heard Pastor Dollar say one time years ago, he said, Peter walked on the water. So I've been practicing walking on the water. I said, well, my spiritual father can practice walking on the water. I can practice walking on the water. I had built a $30,000 pool in my house. I can practice by myself. Nobody see me practicing. So I would go out there and I'll get out. I say, I'm going to walk on. In the name of Jesus, Peter walked the water. I'm walking on the water. Bob said, Peter began to sink. I didn't begin to sink. I just sank. Began means it was a process. I just immediately sank. Kept trying to practice. And I said, Lord, Peter walked on the water. How come I couldn't walk? And it occurred to me one time while I was telling this story, just preaching like I am now, why I couldn't walk on the water. You know why I couldn't walk on the water? Because Jesus didn't tell me to walk on the water. He told Peter. Y'all see? That's funny, but it's so much in that. You trying to do something God didn't call you to do. And then you wonder why you flopping at it. Why you keep sinking. He never told you to do that. And just because you see somebody, well, they able to walk on the water. I keep drowning. Thank God I tried it in my pool, not the lake. The other disciples didn't even walk on the water. Only Peter walked on the water. Because Peter asked, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. He said, well, come on then. Come on. And he got out, started walking on the water, and he began to sink. And we know because he got distracted by the waves and the wind and started focusing on other stuff. But Peter began to walk on the water. And a lot of people give Peter a hard time. But other than Jesus, he's the only person we ever know who walked on the water. I don't care if it was only 1.5 steps. When the last time you took 1.5 steps on water? He began to sink. All the rest of us just sink. But my point is, he had to, in order to do that supernatural thing, he had to hear God. He had to hear the voice of Jesus. And here's the point I was making, because I said launching into deep requires to leave others at the shore. When Peter decided he going to go and walk on the water, some other folks left on the boat. Sometimes you're going to do something great for God. You got to be willing to leave some folks in the boat. Sometimes when God calling you deeper, you're going to have to leave some people at the shore. You'd be surprised how many people being held back because they think everybody's going to go with them. I watch it every Sunday when I do altar calls. I watch altar calls. I'm standing here, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Come on. You know, there's an opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to rededicate, receive the Holy Ghost. And I'll see people. And usually they came with a friend and they talk to the friend. And many times, y'all, while your eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I'm looking over the congregation and I'm seeking, asking God to speak to me how to minister. And sometimes I'll say, come on, whether you're going to heaven or hell, the road is single file. The line is single file. You got to make up your mind by yourself. Because a lot of people, they would come if their friend came too. How many people going to hell because they're waiting for their friend to get saved? When God's calling you to deeper, you got to be willing to leave some people in the boat. And you have to be willing to leave some people at shore. 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 22. Now, let me give you the full context of this. The full context of this, he's talking about people who have made shipwreck of their faith. He's talking about people who have backslid. He talks, and he mentions them, Hananias and Phinehas and these other people who have made shipwreck of their faith, who were serving God but no longer serving God. And then Paul goes into this discourse with Timothy and starts to make an analogy to tent, to house utensils. 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. Everybody say great house. Now, if it's not a great house, all you might have is paper cups and McDonald's cups.
If you're going to go deeper in God, you'll have to make some adjustments. It may be uncomfortable, but Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us to launch out and fully understand the depth of God. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Launching Out into the Deep.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.